Good morning, Thrive Tribe. We are so excited to have you join our podcast this morning. Man, you just being here means so much to us. As a matter of fact, we'd also count it just a great privilege if you'd take time to review and rate our podcast. It'll just help us reach more people for Christ, and that is our goal. We also want to give you an opportunity to give. If you'd like to do that and support the ministry, you can go to thrivechurchonline.com. Just go to the Giving tab. But without further ado, let's jump right into the message.
Hey, so I grew up with a neighbor who was in World War II. His name was Jesse James, and he ended up being a police chief later, which is kind of funny to start with. But he was a combat engineer. He was a captain, one of those larger-than-life guys. He was like 6'7", and he lost a leg in the war, some of the most vicious battles in World War II. But when I was little, I was like 6 or 7 when we met him, and we'd go try on his gear, you know, the helmet and all the stuff that he had from the war. He had some other stuff that he brought to us and brought, he didn't bring it to us, but he brought home from the war, and we would try it on. And there's something about just the smell of that and the feel of that. As a little guy, I'm trying to all this stuff on, it just weights you down. You're like, man, there's something surreal. I would have loved to have known this guy. Like back then, what was he like? You know? But I started thinking about that. Back then, it was pretty clear. If they wore this uniform, they were your allies. They were your buddy. They fought for you. You fought for them. If they wore that uniform, they were your enemy. And they were trying to kill you, and you had to take them out. It was really clear, this uniform, good guy, that uniform, bad guy. But not all battles are that clear. Amen. So started processing through that. And you've got your list. I just made a little list. You start thinking through, this isn't exhaustive. But I'm thinking the battles that we fight. I mean, we're sick and tired of hearing a battle about the pandemic. But we battle pandemics. We're ready for that to be done. We battle different political ideologies. We battle health concerns. We battle attacks on our belief as Christians. We battle things like human trafficking and child abuse. We battle for the unborn. We battle against lust and anger and divorce and apathy and pornography and depression and laziness. We battle memories of past events that we can't shake that are stuck with us. We battle guilt and fear and hopelessness and self-image issues. We battle arrogance and self-reliance. Sometimes we battle our spouse. Sometimes we battle our children. Sometimes we battle our parents. We battle difficult situations at work or school or home. We battle financial struggles. And sometimes we battle unfulfilled dreams or expectations. But here's the good news. When we battle all of those things that I just listed and more that are in your mind and heart, we have a God who is with us. He is with us in the battle. He was before us. He's behind us. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. He is our provider. He is our hope. He is our strength. He is our purpose. And we know that. You've walked through stuff like that. We've all walked through stuff. And you know, if you're a believer in Christ, you have him with you. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You go and witness for him. What? Christ is your strength. Here's your question. What happens when your battle is against God? Right. Now what? Your hope, your strength, your provider, your encourager. Now you're battling him. I know I'm not the only one that has battled him. Right. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Good, 3 of you, 4 of you, good. Rest of you are lying, right? Good, so we're just going to get real today. So here's, when your battle is against God, now what? We're going to get a chance this morning to walk through this battle and what it looks like through a real life person called Jonah. Out of scripture. What's awesome about Jonah is we get to see how he battled, he rebelled against the Lord, and we get to see his full circle that God brought him back. And there are many of you in here, you already nod and you're going, yeah, I've been there. Battled the Lord, went full circle, hit a wall, and he brought me back.
Right.
Some of you online need to hear that. Some of you are doing the same thing, have done the same thing. You know the goodness of God. Some of you need to hear the goodness of God
right. In
all this situation. Amen. My story, briefly. I was 16. I was called into the ministry at 16. I was at a church camp with a youth group, just doing the church camp youth group thing. Some of you all have done that deal, whatever else. And I'm up there and the speaker's speaking and it's just regular night. And he's talking and he just stops. And he goes, I just feel like the Lord's calling some of you into the ministry. And if that's you, come on down front. We'll pray over you. And if not, we'll just keep going. I mean, sensitivity to the Spirit, I appreciate that. And I'll tell you later if you're interested what all happened in detail. But man, the calling was irresistible.
Right.
I could not go up front.
Right.
And there were 3 people from our church group that went up, me and another guy, another girl. Those 2 got married and they're still in ministry in Minnesota. And then here I am. And here's what I did. You ready? Infinite wisdom. Hear the quotations and sarcasm there. So I got back home. I was excited. I didn't know what to do with it. I'm like, okay, I've been called to the ministry. This is pretty good. So I got back home on Sunday morning, and we're going to church, and I walk in the church office, and there's nobody there. kind of looking around. And then I see the pastor's office. I'm like, I'm called the ministry. So I kind of look in the pastor's office, and he's not there either. But I see the robe and the stole. That's a little colorful thing that goes around their neck if you look, you know, some of the higher church, whatever. And so, and then I saw the rows and 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 rows of books. And here's my thought. You ready? That looks boring. I think I'm going to go into engineering. So I was, you know, I was a math and science guy in high school, and it was, you know, that was good. I'm like, well, I like math. I like science, and it'd be fun to build bridges and roads. I'm going to do that. And my best friend from high school is going to the same university, and I cheer for their football and basketball team, and I can get free tickets. That's a great idea. Let's do it. Thanks, God. I didn't even say thanks, God. Actually, I just said, I'm going over here. Anybody else? Yeah, I'm the only guy. Nope. Yeah, so you're there. You've been there. God, that's a neat idea. I didn't even say, God, that was a neat idea. I just like my idea's better. Okay. Later on, I realized I'm fighting with the God of the universe that I just said, here's the hand, and I went and did my thing. Anyway, we'll learn more about that in just a second. Intro, Jonah. So Jonah, if you're brand new to Scripture, if you're brand new to the church or to the Bible, we're going to all be in great company. Here's all we know about Jonah. He's called Jonah. That's good, right? And he's the son of Amittai. That's good. That's it. So if you know you got your Bibles, got your YouVersion, whatever else, pull it up. We're just going to track through this morning the entire book of Jonah. Don't be scared. It's going to go fast. Chapter 1, we're going to dig in a little bit, and we're going to smoke through 2, 3, and 4. But we're going to hear the picture of this guy as he goes his circle. And we get to follow him. And hopefully, my prayer is, if you're in the middle or about to run from the Lord, that this story will go, let me think again. Because you get to see real life how this works out. Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. Now let me just time out. When phrases in Scripture, I like to just dig in a little bit. When it says their evil has come up before me, it's not like God's going, oh well, look, they're an evil people. How about that? He's in all things. He knows all things. He's there. It's not like he's missed anything. But think about the imagery here. You've got the God that's in the highest of heavens. You know, just the idea. But if their evil has arisen that far, to people are saying that evil has filled up its fullness of whatever it is, and God's going, okay, that's enough. Their evil has risen, has come up before me. He said, Jonah, go to Nineveh and tell them about me. And Jonah said, no. And he went the other direction. He just took off. He said, I think what I'm going to do instead, God, is I'm going to get on a ship. Verse 3, he said, I'm going to flee to Tarshish. Don't say that 10 times. I'm going to go there. And it's one of those ideas of, like, Tarshish, we're not sure where it was. Like, we got an idea. It's the furthest from what the Lord called him to. But if you can pick your place, Tahiti, Grand Cayman Islands. Have some friends that went to Costa Rica on the beach for 2 weeks. Whatever that is, it's like, man, all what I could do that would be like the best possible thing in my mind is where he went. Apart from the Lord. Okay, I've got that idea, but I've got the best place I can go. First Kings describes the ships that came from that place as bearing all kind of riches. So just apparently a marvelous place to be. And Jonah said, uh-uh. Give you a little background on Nineveh. Nineveh is the capital of this country called Assyria. And back then, that was like in World War II, Hitler, just keeping on that same World War II vein, all the countries around Germany back then were like, when are they coming to invade us? Like, they were scared. They were worried. They didn't have anything for Germany. And they were evil people back then. That was awful. And that's the kind of country. But like, let's just say some of us were going to go play catch. We're going to go grab a football. We're going to grab a frisbee. We're going to grab a baseball, something. What they would do, the Assyrian warriors, if they got bored and went to play catch, they go grab the head of an enemy, chop it off, and that's what they'd use to play catch with. Documented stories. Interesting people. Yeah. Not exactly what you want to do on Sunday afternoon after church. Hey, you know, so it's just a different world. And Jonah was going to go to those people. And God said, go tell them. We're going to find out later, though, that Jonah hated them. Maybe they'd done something to his family. Who knows? He hated them. And God said, go. Maybe you're in that position this morning. You hate what God has called, or who God has called you to. Jonah said no. He went down to find his boat and go the different directions. Interesting, verse 4, look at the first little bit. It says, but the Lord. Whenever you see but God in Scripture, something's happening. Right. You get the impossible. You're stuck with a situation like there is no way but God. Hear me? The Israelites, they fled Egypt a long time ago, right? And they get to the Red Sea, and like, oh man, there's a sea in front of us. Turn around, and the Egyptian army's coming at them to slaughter them. Sea, army, sea, army. We are stuck, and we're going to die. But God made a way across the sea. Right. Over and over and over in Scripture, this happens. The best but God in Scripture is Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to walk you through it, verses 1 through 10. Here's a real quick. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. That is the most awesome but God in Scripture. Right. But here's the deal. Impossible situations. Jonah was an impossible situation. He said, nope, I'm not going there. But I want you to look at your neighbor and say, I'm impossible. Oh, say it again, just because in case you're sleeping. Say, I'm impossible. Don't amen them. That's not okay. Just, I'm impossible. Now turn to the same neighbor and say, but God. Some of you are living testimonies that you have been impossible. Amen. And you have walked the impossible. But God has saved you and brought you in his presence. And you are a new creation because of him. Amen. And some of you, God is calling you and you are right there. And you know it and he's calling you. Right. That's what. But God. That's where we are this morning. Jonah ran. But God, it says, hurled a mighty tempest upon the boat. This is a big storm coming on this boat. These are seasoned sailors on this ship. And God said, storm. Ship is going crazy. It's about to break up. Sailors are freaking out. They're calling out, crying, praying to their God. They're throwing their cargo overboard. And just so you'll know, this is how they get their pay. So they would sail the ship. They'd load cargo on the ship. They'd sail it somewhere else. They'd sell that cargo, get more cargo on their ship. Sail back over here, sell that. And the money they got was their salary. They didn't care. They were slinging the cargo overboard. We're going to die. This ship is going down. Whatever it takes, we've got to live. This is all going on. And Jonah, right there on the deck, right? I'm with you. Let's just throw the cargo. No. Jonah went to sleep. He went down in the boat and went to sleep. What? Sin will make you stupid. Right. Anybody with me? Yeah. Sin will make you stupid. So for me in college, for example, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to go to engineering. I'm going to do my thing. I did stuff. I look back. Man, it's embarrassing. Some of it's scary. I mean, I look back and I'm going, first of all, I was not the example that I needed to be. And I think of what people did I lead the wrong direction. And then I think what could I have done for, like, I could have been an influence in a totally different direction. Not to mention that I could have gotten kicked out of school. I could have gotten killed for some of the stuff that I did. And I brought other people with me. That's stupid. Yeah, some of y'all are nodding. Okay, I'm not the only one that was stupid. Sin has a stupefying nature to it. And some of us are walking through stupid right now. Just telling you right up front, nothing personal. Sin will make you stupid. So Jonah's down in the bottom of the boat. And the captain came down and said, what are you doing sleeping? Come up here. We're going to all cry out to our gods, and maybe one of the gods will hear us and just calm the situation down. We don't know why. We don't know what's going on. We have no clue, but let's, come on, come up here. You can't sleep in the middle of this. And so they're all on the ship, and they decide to cast lots. I don't know what exactly that was. We don't know what that was. We don't make decisions that way. We have the God of the universe living in us. There's the Holy Spirit. We don't need lots. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. So anyway, whatever that was, God worked with it. They cast lots, and it all pointed to Jonah, and they all went, what have you done? He said, well, I'm running away from the God who made the sea and the dry land. Another freak out session on the boat. What? Oh my goodness, what do we do? I mean, waves are crashing, boats just going up and down, 30-foot swells or whatever, and they're having this conversation on the boat. And Jonah said, man, you just got to throw me overboard. Sailors say, wait a minute, that means you're going to die. And Jonah knew that. Here's what I need you to hear, is that Jonah realized that rebellion against the Lord deserves death. I want you to hear, as I hear, rebellion against the Lord deserves death. Now, if you're a believer in Christ, you know that Christ paid that penalty of death on the cross, conquered it, rose again, amen, hallelujah, right? Jonah knew that his penalty was death. And they're like, no, we can't do that. Let's just row. They're trying to row back to shore in a hurricane. Picture that. If I'm on a canoe in a lake, if you've been on a canoe in a lake, and you try to row in the middle of that, that's almost hopeless. If it's windy outside, it's going to push you wherever you want to go. They're in a hurricane. trying to row. It obviously failed, and they're like, Jonah, man, got nothing left. So throw me overboard. Threw him in. Whew, instantly calm. Another freakout session on the boat, but this one was a good one. They're worshiping all of a sudden the God of Jonah. They're like, that is God. Okay, we're worshiping him. They're making sacrifices on the boat. This is God of the universe. We know now who that is. I want you to hear this. In the middle of your rebellion, God works things for good.
Right.
In the middle of rebellion of someone that's around you, you may be walking through rebellion. Somebody that's close to you is rebelling. God works those things even for good. Now hang in, because I realize and you realize that as you rebel or as somebody around you rebels, you pull other people in it. Jonah's realizing he dragged the whole boat into his mess.
Right.
So my prayer, my hope, God's desire is that the rebellion is short.
Right.
The effect is less. But even in the middle of that, man, God is working. So I want you to hear that. Don't give up hope. If you're struggling with something, if you're struggling with a family member or a friend or some kind of situation, God is working in the middle of that. Now, interesting thing about Jonah, I'm just picturing this. I mean, everyone thinks that he wrote this book, but just and there's another reason that I think he did is because in just a minute, there's no more mention of the boat. Here's why. Jonah, just imagine. So everybody's on the ship, all the sailors. You know how it is after a crisis situation. You kind of go, and you're catching your breath, kind of going, whoa, man, that was, and you start talking to each other, man, that was crazy. Can't believe that. I mean, we're about to die. Now everything's calm. You just picture the conversation on the boat, right? And Jonah's just drifting off. Just forget it. He's just drifting. And he's looking, though, and he's watching the salvation, I believe, on the boat. People are just coming to the Lord on the boat. And he's drifting. And then somebody on the boat probably going, man, that was good. We survived. We're survived. And they looked, and they're like, oh, man, there's Jonah. And sometimes God just goes, exclamation point. And so all of a sudden they're watching Jonah going, I'm thinking, this is the way I envision it, is they're watching Jonah, he's drifting, and they're like, man, poor dude, though. I mean, what are we going to do? And this fish about the size of their ship just curls up and grabs him and disappears. Another freakout session on the boat. And, you know, look out. They know that God is God. They know who he is. Picture it in your mind. Jonah's gone now. He's in the belly of the fish. Jonah 1:17. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights.
Right.
It's awesome. God knows exactly what people need in the process. He needs the exclamation point for some people. Some people need exclamation. I need exclamation points, unfortunately. And Jonah needed the belly of a fish. Chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, out of the depths of the earth, out of death, I cried, and you heard my voice. And it goes down to verse 7. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. He knew he was dead. Jonah knew, I'm in a fish. I don't like submarines. I can't imagine going in the submarine down to the bottom of the ocean. He's in a fish. There's no escape hatch. There's no way out. Dude's, I mean, he's as good as dead. But he still cried out, God, I repent. You're right. I deserve death, but salvation belongs to you. You're God.
Right.
Distress, verse 1. Good description of where all of us are when we're fighting the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, we can fight it. We can fake it. But it's still there. Man, when I was running, it was just gnawing at me. But I was, I was having a good time. It was gnawing at me.
Right.
Now, I want you to hear that God rarely causes those things these days. We have an enemy who, his desire is to steal, kill, and destroy.
Right.
Jesus has come that we may have life and have it abundantly. God will let us run as far as we want to in our mess. He knows exactly how far to let us run. How about that? What do you say? God will let us get into our own trouble. We have enough trouble of our own. God didn't have to do anything. Just let us run. Okay, now it's far enough. Out of love, and then pulls you back. Nothing like being stuck in a hopeless situation.
Right.
So with me in college, for example, I got to the point where, I mean, I was smart enough in high school that I didn't have to study much and make decent grades. Doesn't always work when you get to college. Didn't work in this case. And so I'm having a good time and all that kind of stuff, and then realized, man, I'm not doing well in classes, some of them. And I could go, well, you know, it really wasn't that bad. It was, but I failed some classes, and I had to cheat to pass some classes. And so I'm like, okay, made it past those introductory classes, all the math and all the science for engineering. Then I realized, I realized that it's all those math and science classes that help you build bridges and roads. And if I wasn't doing well in those, how are my bridges and roads going to be? Don't ride on the ones that I build. So I couldn't go the next level, and I hit a wall. I'm like, man, I can't do what I was calling here to do. What do I do? God, it's nothing like being stuck. God in his mercy, third year into college, I'm like, God, what do I do? I mean, I'm at the end of me. And the pastor at my home church called and said, hey, we're taking a group up to that same mountain camp. Said, would you like to go be a chaperone for that? I'm going, yeah, I think that'd be good. So, I mean, grace right there. And so I went with them. And in the middle of all of that, God reaffirmed his calling for me. Dan, stop running. I surrendered. God, you're right. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Whatever you want. I do not like where I am. Right. I've run to the end of where I am. You brought me back. I surrender. Some of you are there this morning. God's wanting to do that in you this morning. Maybe you've been there before. And it's a constant, continual process. I mean, God, just because you get things right in one case, God's going, yeah, but let's work on this area. Yeah. And let's work on this area. Yeah. Let's make you more and more like Jesus. Oh, yeah, you're resistant in that area, but we're going to make you more like Christ here. It's good. Out of love, he brings us to a point of repentance. Right. We good? So one other thing about stupid, sin and stupid. When you come out of stupid, when you come out of sin and you repent, it's often embarrassing. I was embarrassed, man. I had to go home and say, Mom, Dad, I mean, here's my report card. Here's my grades or whatever else I'm getting in college that you are paying for, by the way. And here's the ones that I've got to take again or I failed or whatever, and I've got to change majors. And man, I was embarrassed. I didn't want to go there. I didn't want to go tell them what was going on. And a lot of times when you come out of that situation, there's embarrassment. People sometimes want to leave. They want to leave their families, want to leave their friends. Some people have wanted to commit suicide just to avoid the pain of what's coming when they repent, when they come out of it and they have to confess what they've done. And they're like, I don't want to face that. And maybe you're walking through that right now. But I want you to hear that God's like, no. That's more steal, kill, and destroy. That's more devil. That's more stupid. Don't go there. Come to me. I'm a God of grace. I'm a God of love. I'm a God of mercy. Come. Come. Don't do more crazy. Come to me. Right. Oh, man, that's the place to be. And somebody maybe needs to hear that this morning. You may be right in the middle of the oh crud moment. Yeah. I'm embarrassed and I've gotten caught or I've hit a wall. God's saying, come on. Come on. Right. All you who are weak, burdened, I'm going to give you rest. Come to me. There's grace. Chapter 2, verse 10. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon dry land. It didn't just spit him out. He didn't just like eject from the fish. He was vomited. I love the way scripture does that, right? Vomited on dry land. Now, I want you to get a picture of this, okay? So Jonah's been in this fish for how many days? 3 year wait. Good. 3 days, 3 nights. Hannah and I and some of our children went fishing last weekend. And Hannah caught a bass, nice sized bass. It was fun. We got a video of it. And we're taking it off. And, you know, you're getting all the fish all over you and you're throwing it in. And then you go back home, you wash your hands and get ready to eat supper. And you're like, and she's like, oh, I still smell like fish. I'm going, I smell like fish. If you're a fisherman, it's a good day if you smell like fish, right? If it's not a good day, if you go, it smells like soap. That's a bad fishing day. So it smelled like fish. But Jonah was in the belly of a fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Fish juice, salt water, stomach acid, 3 days and 3 nights, in his clothes and everything. Getting the picture?
Yeah.
Right. Then he spat out onto dry land. Now, my thought, nobody says this, not in scripture necessarily, here's my thought, is most people would want to go get a bath, at least rinse off. But he just got swallowed by a fish. Right. Who's going back in the water? No. Yeah, you know, Jaws was out there a little while ago, but let's go swim again. No. So he's on dry land. Now he's sandy. Fish juice, salt water, stomach acid. Go to Nineveh. Hold on. Verse 1, chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose, went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Here's a guy, night of the living dead looking guy, fish smelling, salt, sand, going into Nineveh. I mean, this is a big deal. But I want you to hear, here's something else that was going on at Nineveh at that time, in the Assyrian Empire. There were famines happening in the empire. There were other armies attacking them, at least 2 on other sides. People within the kingdom were rising up against the government. And then this, one of their major forms of worship in this empire was the sun god. And there was this massive solar eclipse and had everybody freaking out. There's judgment coming. The gods are against us. What's going on? Everything's going wrong in our kingdom. And in comes Night of the Living Dead, Jonah, and proclaims, repent. 40 days, God's going to destroy your city. Man, they got on their knees. The king of the whole area. I mean, the king. He repented.
Yeah.
Sackcloth and ashes.
Right.
Yeah, which means sackcloth like burlap. You're going to put all my comfort. Ashes, it's like I'm dust. God, compared to you, I am nothing. I realize that I am destroyed. I mean, and so all we can do is just rely on your mercy.
Yeah.
What's really cool is with Jonah and with you, with me, that God has a reconfirmation of our calling. Go again. Jonah, I know you messed up. Go again. And Jonah, I know you're stinky. And I know you look terrible. But it's not about you. It's about me, Jonah. It's not about your power or your presentation or your good looking or your clothes or whatever. It's about me and what I've done to prepare the hearts of people that you're going for and you're going to talk to. And same way with you at school or at home or at work, the folks that you're ministering to, it's not about you.
Right.
It's about the power of Christ, Amen. The Holy Spirit in you, hope of glory. That's where it's at. Here's what's also cool. God will take your fist juice and your stomach acid and your sand or whatever you've got on you from this mess that you've been in as you've strayed from the Lord,
yeah.
And he'll use it for good. Don't let the enemy make you embarrassed about it. Don't let the enemy mess you up about that. You go, God, this is me, whatever I've got right here, all my stuff, you see it. And God's going, oh, I know, I've already planned people that you're going to talk to that can identify with where you've been. Don't let that embarrass you. You go. I'm going to use it for me.
Right.
Somebody need to hear that this morning. God's going to use your messes, your stink, for his good.
Yeah.
Yeah, walk that way. Join the rest of everybody else in humanity that has stuff and baggage from the past.
Right.
So Jonah went, everybody repented. And Jonah, man, he's done, right? Jonah goes, yes, that's what you do. Go, God, right? Have you read ahead? No, Jonah was like, what? Come on, God, you're supposed to burn the city down. That's the whole reason I wanted to go. I didn't want to go in the first place because I was afraid you'd save him. And now you saved him and I'm ticked off. And he left and he went up on a hill.
Right.
Jonah is not learning quickly. And he built a little shelter for himself. And he just wanted to sit there to see if God would burn. Maybe change your mind. I'm going to sit here for a little while, God, see if you change your mind. Maybe you'll still burn the city down like Sodom and Gomorrah. I would really like that, is what Jonah's basically thinking in his mind.
That's right.
Jonah has an unbelievable hatred for these people. And so God, he said, well, he just made this vine grow up over Jonah. It's hot in the desert. He made this vine grow up over Jonah. He's like, okay, good. That's nice. Thank you for some shade. And then he appointed a worm, and it ate the vine, and the vine died. And Jonah's like, oh, man, again. You ever notice that people that are running from God, there's an anger. There's a frustration. There's like, they're just easily irritated. I am anyway. Anybody else? Okay, yeah, my life's not going right, if I'm mad, it's usually me that's the problem. And so Jonah's mad, and God's like, Jonah, is it right that you're mad? And Jonah's like, yes, it's right that I'm mad. I wanted that vine over my head, and I wanted those people destroyed, and you didn't do it. And then the story ends. That's it. We don't get any more. It's like going to the movie, those that are a little older and used to have the actual movie film, and it would go red and then break, and you're like, you don't get to see the end of the movie. It actually has happened in the digital world too. Some stuff just freaks out and whatever, and you can't finish your movie up. You're going, what? And they give you a little ticket and they say, we'll come back later and finish the end of the movie. And you're going, I want to see it now, thank you. Jonah's the same way. We're just like, we're never going to know how, go to heaven and ask Jonah, but you know, we're never going to know how it ended. But I think that's the beautiful thing.
Right.
We get to look inside and go, man, God, where am I running? Where am I rebelling? Am I like Jonah? I'm mad about a vine? And God goes, Jonah, there's 120,000 people down in that city. More than that. And there's like animals and everything else. And you're worried about a vine. Come on, Jonah, get your priorities right. Yeah, so chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, Jonah knew that God was compassionate. But he's still got a hate problem with the people. And God's going to deal with that. I want you to hear this morning as we get ready to wrap up. God's plan is what will make you most fulfilled. God's plan is what will impact others around you more than anything else. And God's plan is what will change you and the world. And the sooner we connect with that, the better off we are. Fair? But also, I want to remind you, it's an ongoing process. Jonah wasn't done. He wasn't like, oh, and he's finished. He's perfect. It's a complete deal. I mean, it's complete. It's a process that goes on to make us complete. And you and I too. Ongoing process. Some of you now are in the middle of the ongoing process. Some of you now are wrestling with the Lord. Some of you have taken your car off-road and need to get back on the highway. Quick story, and we'll close. My wife and I went to Myrtle Beach years ago, had a Nissan Maxima. If you've been to Myrtle Beach, you realize it rains in the afternoon a lot. There's lots of traffic. We were heading out. Traffic was thick going out of town. Somebody hit the brakes way up ahead of us. It was moving at a pretty good clip, and I was not, like, the proper following distance. And somebody stopped up front. Traffic just stacked up real quick, slammed on the brakes, and I'm starting sliding toward the car in front of me, and I'm going, oh, man, this is not going to end well. Looked to the left. Nobody was in the median. Jerked the car over to the left, hit the gas again to keep it from going, you know, straighten it back out from being squirrely. And I'm going like 45 miles an hour, zip, 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 past everybody beside me, kind of, you know, whatever, and grass, mud, junk going under the car. I'm like, crud, I'm just ruining this Maxima. I have no idea what's happening to the car. Finally get to the turn lane. Oh, okay, light turns green. Ease over into the gas station. I get out, a little shaky, start looking under the car. Do I have tires in the car still? I mean, what's going on? Can I drive it home? I mean, mud everywhere. Car's good. Takes me a little bit, but I'm good. Takes her a little bit. She's good. We kind of ease back on the highway. A little more careful, a little more where we need to be. Some of you this morning have been out four-wheeling on places you don't need to be in a vehicle that doesn't belong there. And God's saying, come on back. Some of you may be so out there that you don't know where the main road is. This is the beauty of a church family. There are people here to say, hey, let me tell you, I'll help you get on the highway. This is an awesome place. If you're new, man, you've come to the right place. Pray with me. You may be angry this morning. You may be like Jonah. I don't know what your situation is. Maybe you're running from a calling that the Lord has on your life. Maybe somebody has hurt you and you hate them and you have trouble forgiving them. You can't forgive them. You want to see them burned to the ground like Sodom and Gomorrah. Keeps coming to mind. Maybe that's for one of you this morning. God is saying, listen, hatred only glues you to that person and to that situation. This comes over and over and over and you can't separate yourself because of the hate. But if you forgive them, it doesn't mean that they're right. It means you release them to God to take care of them, and He is much more able than you are. Maybe God's calling you to serve here, some capacity, or minister for Him somehow, and you're like, God, you know what? I've got to give up in order to have time to do that. God's saying, yeah, put it all on the table. I'm going to take off what I want to take off, and I'm going to leave what's going to bless you and everybody else, and it's going to be the ride of your life, but let me have your life. Stop running. Stop being selfish. Stop owning your own stuff. Let me have you. And maybe you've been resisting the Lord's call on your life to follow Jesus. Maybe you've been one who's been rebelling and pushing back. God, I know, no. But you know that He is the Savior and He is the King of the universe. And He is calling you this morning to let go, to receive Him. So as we pray, let me approach you that are believers in Christ, that you know you've had Christ. You're a child of His. You've walked with Him in this process. No magic prayer, but pray something like this. If you're running from Him and you're resisting His call in your life, God, I realize this morning, again, afresh, my ability to run from You. To think my way is better. God, thank You for showing me that it's not. Thank You for getting me to the end of my road, for hitting a wall even. Lord, I repent. God, I give me You. I give You me. Help me to have the vision that You've called me to have. Help me to have Your perspective on life, not mine. I am Yours. Thank You for Your patience. God, use me. I'm excited about the journey and I'm nervous, but surround me with people, God, who can walk this through with me. And if you're one who this morning for the first time says, you know, I've been running from Jesus. I've fought against Him. I've tried to prove Him wrong. I've resisted. I've rebelled this whole church thing. God's going, oh, come to me, weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It will be the best decision you have ever made. You said, Jesus, something like this, again, no magic formula. You are God. You died for me. By grace, I have been saved. I was impossible, but you make all things possible. Lord, I receive you as Savior. I don't know what that means exactly. God, help me to connect with people who do. I want to start this with you, God. I'm tired of running. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you so much for joining us, man. We just appreciate your presence and you taking time to listen to this podcast today. Man, we just pray that it ministers to you. If we can serve you or if you'd like to reach out to us, feel free to do so. You can email us at amen@thrivechurchonline.com. Again, amen@thrivechurchonline.com. We just want to thank you again for being a part of our church and allowing us to speak into your life. We pray that the Lord blesses you and we can't wait to see you again next time.